Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
Wow. So much is going on. I've been preparing a lot for my interview in the second hour with Jerome Bell. It's going to be fascinating to talk to him. He's running for Congress. I've been watching his videos, reading all kinds of stuff from his website. And this has been a couple of interesting days. We had J. Anthony Sanchez yesterday, and I prepped a whole lot for that, reading all his positions and stuff. And he was running for Congress, but he's got a website too. So it's interesting the people that are coming out that you don't hear about and until they're huge. And it's really nice to be able to talk to these folks in advance and hopefully have some impact on what they're doing. What I'm looking for from these candidates, because we are a show that is all about action, that's all about citizen legislation. It's not just about talking about stuff like everybody else does. I mean, anybody can do that. It's a question of what are you going to do about it? And so as these folks, are coming on the show, either before, during, or after our conversation on the air, I'm talking to them about citizen legislation, because I think one of the things that will hugely help Action Radio is for some people who are running for Congress to actually run on our bills and use that as part of our agenda. I happen to think our agenda is infinitely better than the lack of an agenda from the entire, gelding GOP conservative-ish, party. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of there. They want the power, but they don't know what to do with it when they get it. And so it's interesting to talk to these folks and see what's happening. Anyway, yesterday we had a very interesting event when I had a lightning strike, I think about 30 feet out my window, and it just shut the show down. It shut everything down. And Gene wonderfully took over and did the show while I was trying to sort of, get my computer started and get back on the air, which fortunately the show was still there. So we just kind of picked up where I left off. That's why it's so cool to have Gene there. So Gene definitely needs a round of applause for her great efforts yesterday. And as the world's greatest producer. So let me welcome Gene to the show as we calmly sit back and spend a few minutes with the reserved, the quiet, the shy, the waiting to come out of her shell, Gene Vernig. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, like I say, it's calm outside. Everything's great. We had a couple of thunder bumpers right before the show. I'm like, oh no, not again. So at any time, this show may cut out and we may drop back in. It's just, we don't know what's going to happen. It's improvised Action Radio, but yeah. So let's spend a few minutes with you, and then we're going to have Shelby join us for Cruise and Travel.
All right. Well, there's two things I want to talk about. One is Afghanistan and just the accountability. I'm still comprehending. We were supposed to be out by the 31st. It's like today's the 31st. Why did they all go out yesterday? Number one, we still got tons of people over there, and that's what breaks my heart, because bottom line is there's so many people, Americans over there yet, but they took a lot of Afghanistan people instead of American. Now, I'd be fine with that, but the Afghanistan people, did most of those people they take, were they the interpreters, the people that helped the soldiers while they were there and the United States people while they were there, or did they just take whoever was at the airport, because those are the only ones that got to the airport? Meaning, did they vet them all and are they safe to be here? We already got the southern border that's open.
Nope. Short answer is nope.
And Joe Biden's asleep at the wheel. Kamala Harris, God knows where she is, because she's never doing her job. We just have to look at the southern border to see that, and look at Afghanistan and where did she go? Oh, who knows why she was even there, except she did find out. I was reading something yesterday that the Chinese told her that they don't respect Americans anymore, can't trust them. And it's like, well, is that anything new? No, but this is why would anybody trust us now, because of what we did in Afghanistan? Yeah, we lost all credibility. And how sad is that? For what? Something that they I don't want to say dreamed of, but planned for years. Well, how sad is that? And the thing is, if he was in such a rush to get out of Afghanistan, he should have did it 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when Obama was in office for those 8 years, if that was of such importance.
Well,
he was worried about lives lost, then why did he do it the way he did?
Let me stop you for a second, because I want to put your brain to work here. If this were intentional, this was actually planned to be this way, so forget the criticism, forget everything else. Do you think, as intended, what do you think they're intending? If you looked at this as all purposeful, what do you think they're trying to do?
Big thing is have the Taliban be in charge.
Okay. Why?
Because then just who's ruling? You know, it's unrest there, but it's also they aren't nice people.
Okay.
And what they stand
I'm putting you on the spot here,
it's opposite
I want to
the Afghanistan or why they said we were in there, want freedom, we want women's rights, want all this stuff. Well, mm-hmm. they don't have it now.
Women's rights with the Taliban? That's there are no women's rights. That goes for Sharia law in general. I mean, you can go anywhere. You can go to Pakistan. You can go to Saudi Arabia, to a large extent, Iran. I mean, the Middle East countries are notorious for abysmal treatment of women, and so why anybody would support these folks, is beyond me. But what I'm trying to do, and like I said, I've got you on the spot a little bit here, but I want you to think about this, and Shelby's on the line listening too, so I'm going to bring her on in a couple of minutes. But the idea is that we're looking at this as if this were a mistake, and I really think we need to look at this as if it's intentional. And so if it is intentional, we need to know why it is. Now, Jerome Bell, who's coming on in the second hour, thinks that this – he was talking about something on a recent video saying that all these things are intentional. We knew about Pearl Harbor ahead of time, but Americans were sacrificed to get that war going. We knew about the Gulf of Tonkin incident ahead of time, and that's how we got into Vietnam. We knew about – I mean, we can go back to remember the Maine and for the Spanish-American War. We have a history – of sacrificing Americans to get a war started because we have a permanent war class, globalists, a military-industrial complex, and other things. So if you look at it in terms of – shadow the dishes back there. Wow. Come on back, Gene.
No,
get a little background noise there.
Ice maker. Someone's using the ice maker,
ice maker. See, this is live radio. Whatever happens just goes out on the air. And I said, But think in terms of if this were intentional, it's working very well. If it were intentional to get arms – to the Taliban, if it were intentional to put them in charge, if it were intentional to sacrifice Americans to restart the war, this is a glowing success, right?
It is. Well, in that regard, they executed it perfectly.
Now, how do you feel?
I despise the government even more.
Okay. I feel betrayed.
No respect for them. And,
Okay.
Especially them. Especially them, because they're not doing anything. Some of them talk a good story, but they aren't going to do anything. They just go up there, pound their chest, and this isn't right, or someone's going to be held accountable. But who? There's a few people I have hope that they're actually going to do something to help get the people that are still there out. But it's like last week I heard this one translator was being interviewed, and there's this lady, I don't remember where she's from or what organization, but she's been working quite a few weeks on trying to get him out. And he'd get to almost to the airport, and then something would happen, and he wouldn't get in. And so they said yesterday that one of the translators they were trying to get out died, and I'm just wondering if it was him, because he was saying he didn't think he'd get out alive. And
yeah.
It's one thing if you're fighting for yourself, but he wasn't never fighting for himself. He just was doing the right thing, what he thought was the right thing, and he thought the U.S. would have his back, and they don't. The thing is, though, too, with the military, that's a whole big issue with the military. And the one guy that put that video out, and now he got fired after being in the military for 17 years. And I know the military, you're not supposed to speak up about your leaders and stuff like that. But basically, he was asking for accountability. There is none. There's none in this whole administration. But the thing is, with the military, if we're supposed to have the best military in the world, we don't have the best military in the world based on how things are going now. I mean, really? Even the guy from that was in Afghanistan that was head spearing that got on TV yesterday and was talking, and I listened to some of that clip. I mean, how sad, how sad. I would really like to say other words, but it's like, who are you trying to kid?
Oh, the American people.
I can't comprehend. I can't put my head around it that we don't care that people, we left Americans stranded there. I mean, I just can't fathom that. Just it's one thing, okay, you leave them there, but can you imagine what they're going through? And then my one friend last week that told me about this other person that watched, they had to stand there. Well, he didn't have to watch, but he was there as his Afghanistan friend and family got beheaded. And that was before they were saying anybody died. It's like, you know what? We need to start demanding the truth, the truth. We can handle the truth. Give us the truth.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head here as far as in terms of the problem. The problem is that they don't want to give us the truth, that that many Americans don't want to hear the truth. There are Americans who believe that, that COVID is going to kill them and the vaccine will save them, neither of which is true. People believe all kinds of things. They believe that, we need to be over there to fight for our freedom. We're not fighting for our freedom over there. We were fighting originally, which is a good reason, to stop terrorism, from Afghanistan coming to the United States. But most of the people in 9/11 were Saudi Arabian. So what were we fighting in Afghanistan for, or Iraq for that matter?
Right.
Okay. So lies, if you look at the lies, government is based on lies, and they build a pyramid of lies. And the lies that Biden won the election, back on November 3rd, have caused a cascade of daily lies to reinforce the lies from the day before. They're still lying about it. They lied about January 6th. The lies never stop. And now the lies about Afghanistan, that it was a bumbling, stupid effort, that we tried our best, that the military is coming out, that it's Trump's fault because he made a bad deal when he made a great deal. Trump should just pull the troops out. This whole nation building thing, we've talked about that before. But the thing is, the lies to make Americans feel comfortable with the government doing horrible things is, I think, what really is the root cause of a lot of this. I'm going to hold you up for a bit. Go ahead. One more. Go ahead.
I just want to say something quick. Yeah. But people still believe that Biden is doing a good job, and that Trump, if Trump would have been in there, they're like, thank God Trump wasn't in there. And that there's, and like I said yesterday, they're still comparing his leaving office as to be worse than what happened in Afghanistan, what is happening in Afghanistan. I'm like, are you kidding me? How can you even compare the two? How? It's two totally different things.
I think it's delusional.
And I blame the media on that too, because the media spins it how they want to spin it.
Well, there's two groups in this country. There are those that believe Trump was the ultimate evil when everything was going right, and believe Biden is the ultimate good when everything is going wrong. I think a cognitive dissonance is the term when you see obvious facts like the economy is crumbling, we're overspending ourselves by literally trillions of dollars, energy is restricted, prices are up, inflation's up, we've got all these horrible problems going on, we've got a southern border that's completely open, and then everybody goes, yeah, Biden's doing a great job, look at that, he's masterful, he's leading, and the guy doesn't even know where he is. Okay. On the other hand, under Trump, the economy was booming, jobs were coming in, NATO was paying their fair share, the southern border was locked down, and all these wonderful things, everything were prospering, regulations were being cut back, everything was going great. And yet he was looked upon as the bad president. It's a delusional disconnect. I think that's the term I'm going to start using, delusional disconnect. I almost hesitate to play Shelby's theme simply because it's so happy. We got some serious topics to do today. But I'm going to do it anyway because Shelby's the coolest, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places. Wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Frenette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go.
Hey, Shelby, take me away to faraway places.
Good morning.
I've had enough here.
Good
I don't
morning.
Like this place right now. I want to enjoy myself again.
How you guys doing? I was so interesting to listen to you. I can feel the passion in your voice, Gene. It breaks my heart to see what's going on. And it really, I don't know how we can feel so distant. I know we're a populous nation now, but it's like, I feel like it's almost like we're back to people feeling like we're numbers because, like you said, Americans are there and how it must be so horrible for them. And I mean, it really does break my heart. It really does.
Jean?
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel the exact same way and I feel powerless. What can I do? That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping and I know some people are stepping up, but I'm hoping some of the people that really can make a difference will, because Yeah, it's just so sad. Just to think that their life doesn't matter. Their life doesn't matter, and it showed last year whose life matters. The only lives that matter are the ones that can get the sympathy and whatever. It's not the average American person. No, it's the thug.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty grim. And like the whole, when you said that a family saw his friend be beheaded, I know that the media is the media, first of all, because they choose to report. They're not reporting this stuff. Like, how many times I've had this conversation with people that are homosexual, that are like, no, let them do Muslim. Muslims are just good people, and they do what they, let them be them. And I'm like, do you understand that you really are not allowed to be gay there? You will be beheaded. It's like a thing, but the media doesn't promote that. You know what I mean? So people only have as much time as they have to devote to informing themselves about the big picture. So it does come down to the media. It really does. And I always think we were asking the wrong question about the media. It's like, why are they allowed to just not give us both sides of the story? Like, I feel like that's really the crux of it all. Same thing with the presidential election. Why are we only having why do we only hear from two people? We shouldn't have, out of the millions and billions of people we have, like, well, 333 million, right, that are in the United States, 333 million approximately. Why do we only have two people to choose from? That's bizarre in itself, but, like, we accept that, even though there are other people running for president, but the media doesn't even give them a microphone. Like, that's the question I feel like we should be asking. We should be talking. The crux of the question is getting the information out, and that's the media, because they're narrating and directing whatever story that, you know, just like the pharmaceutical agencies are directing what the colleges are teaching, because they're funding the colleges. So the doctors are getting information that is really biased, because it's predicated on ultimately the funds, the backs of the big pharmaceutical agencies that have their own agenda. And then the doctors, who are supposed to trust to know everything, are really, their curriculum is being taught through these pharmaceutical agencies. So how could they really have all the information if it's all one-sided? Same thing with the media. Who's funding the media, and why isn't it against the law to only show one side? Because now you go to every major news station and they have the same phrasing, the same photos. It is not journalism. It is not discovery. It is whoever's funding these big media companies, and I don't even know who it is. You guys probably do. But it's the same messaging, and it's unfair. That's the question we should be asking, is how can we change the media to be free press again, for real? Like, because the information, controlling the information is controlling everything. And they are controlling the information. We all know that now. It's very clear through social media that's being done. But it was already being done. It just wasn't so clear with the media. And as I always say to you guys, people don't have, they're very busy, and we don't have a lot of time, and nor do I care that much. Like, this is not my passion, to be honest with you. I have other passions. My passion is not world politics, but, you know, some people it is, and I like that about it. Everyone's different, and if everyone was, like, passionate about the same thing, you know, we wouldn't get anything done. But to that point, you know, it's okay that I'm not passionate, because somebody else needs to be. That's their, you know, we all have to have some sort of, like, care about politics, but it can't, we're not all at the same level as you guys are, where you're going to go digging and really trying to piece things together and solve a puzzle and dig for more information. Most of us are just so freaking busy, like, living a life and picking up what's broken, putting that back together again, that we don't have time to research. So I just feel like the question should be more like, why is it okay that we're not getting real journalism, real back and forth, and that messaging? Like, just the information. We should just go back to the information. Like, what the media is controlling the information. That's the real problem. Because if we had all the information, like you said, we can handle the truth, and then we can make an informed decision, right?
Mm-hmm. I got to give you a round of applause. That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's my first.
Well, I should do more of it. Jean, do you have a comment? Because I have like a half a page of notes already.
I get what you're saying exactly. However, people, it's like you see the parents getting up in the school boards and starting to talk. I think people are starting to realize that if they don't speak up, nothing is going to change, because it does start in the towns, cities, and then state, and then federal. It doesn't just happen, boom, federally. But we do have to start paying attention to our elections, and that's a sad thing, because
we do.
A lot of people here feel there's nothing wrong with the elections. But I'm sorry,
right.
if there's more people voting than there's registered voters, right there, that should be all those votes should be thrown away. You don't have ID. We have to have ID if we go on a plane. We have to have ID to even check out a library book. You know, you have to have an ID card. How do you get that? You have to show proof of who you are. It's like you have to have ID to buy cigarettes and other things. It's like, why? Why don't we have an ID to vote? And it's not even a picture. It could be
well,
a social security
have
number,
an
anything.
I think the argument is that they don't think that we should be putting that on everyone, but we actually do need an ID to vote. Was that incorrect? Because I know I need an ID to vote. I can't vote without it. Do you guys have different information? Because right now, as far as I know, we do need an ID to vote. Is that wrong?
Florida, you do.
I
had to prove my citizenship when I came here. I had to register. I provided my passport, showed that to the register of voters here in Santa Rosa County, and that's how I was able to register. But you have to prove citizenship. You have to, you have to have driver's license. You have to have ID, and then you can vote in Florida. But in California, you can walk across the border and vote right away. They'll give you a driver's license. So there is no ID checks at the polls. California is hopeless. That's why they had, they probably have 5+ million fraudulent votes per election. I know that was in the Trump Biden election was many millions of fraudulent votes, and the Hillary Clinton votes too.
Jean, right. I want to finish that though, because that could still be made into my point that I was saying. That's the media. The media starts to tell a story that minorities don't have the ability to get ID, so we should allow them to vote. That's the media's narrative, and that is why every normal person that you ever talk to that's like, yeah, they shouldn't need ID, and you're like, how could you say that? It's because the narrative that the media has put out there in their head, basically they have told them that these people don't have enough equipment in their life, whether it's education, command of the language, money, ability to get to the DMV. They have them believing that these people don't have that ability, so we would be doing something wrong to them by making them show ID. So again, that's still the media. That's still the media's information and the narrative that's being pushed on people. So even though it's a ridiculous, ridiculous thing, and I'm full agreement with you that there is no freaking way that we should be allowing anyone without an ID to vote. I mean, that's just bizarre. But the media has changed the story for people and it's pulled on their heartstrings, and people are under the impression that minorities don't have the ability to get IDs, so we should allow them to vote if they live here. So that's, again, the media. So I just wanted to interject that because I see it's still connected.
Right. And that's true. And I wish they could take a poll to see how many minorities or people from other countries that have come over here that are eligible to vote, how many of those don't have IDs? And the reason I say that, usually those are the people that are the proudest because they get to vote. They will do what it takes to get that ID. And even if they can't speak the language, they know people that can, that will take them there to help them get an ID.
Now, you have to speak English to get your citizenship. That's part of the deal. And so you have to have competence in the English language. So that's so you can read the government forms. The idea that they're printed in all these other forms is ridiculous. Yeah. What's that?
I said, you don't have to have it to live here.
No, you don't.
Exactly.
But you have to have a certain, at least you used to have to have a certain level of English competency because you need English to function in this country. And if you're going to assimilate to America, as all good immigrants should, then you assimilate to the language as well and you learn English. That's the deal.
Interesting.
Anyway, you can feel free to chat more because I have a couple of questions for Shelby, actually. But Jean, did you have more you wanted to add to this?
No. I'm curious to know about travel and the cruise ships and coronavirus and all that.
Okay, let's go to that.
Okay, yeah, let's chat about that. So I would say one of the biggest frustrations is that we are currently operating, the masses are operating that there's like zero tolerance for coronavirus. So it's an impossible target to hit because of the fact that, you know, both vaccinated and unvaccinated are able to get and carry and spread coronavirus still. There, you know, you'll have the argument, I've heard the argument very passionately that, you know, if you get the vaccine, you're fine, though. It's a, you're not going to die. And still people are under the misunderstanding that if you get the vaccine, you're not the problem of the mutations. And I don't want to claim to be a scientist, nor do I even want to claim that I feel like I've researched it to its fullest. I am a bachelor's in science, though, so I have some degree of expertise in education. And I keep saying, well, you know, the variants didn't come out until the vaccine came out. And the science behind the variants of the vaccine is very sound, in my opinion. And so to say that it's the unvaccinated that are carrying and the starting the variant, I think that's not true. And but they from the media believe that it is because they don't quite say that, but they certainly leave any verbiage to have. If you're going to fill in the blanks, you would fill in the blanks that it's the unvaccinated's fault. So since we have a zero tolerance on the cruise ships and people vaccinated and unvaccinated are spreading it, that's an impossible target to hit. So there's still a lot of back and forth with the cruises. And I would say the only thing that's happening is that they're getting more strict about vaccinations, like not taking children because they're not able to, under 12, I think it is, they're not able to vaccinate them yet. So decided, you know, you have to be 100% vaccinated. And it's just it's still the zero tolerance for COVID is never going to work, I don't think, on a cruise ship vessel that's being tested on a regular basis with the crew and thousands of people. So I feel like for cruising, it's still a real risk to cruise because of the fact that you not a risk necessarily of death, more of a risk that you might be quarantined somewhere or not be able to get back to your home because there's if you do test positive, they haven't really figured out exactly what they want to do with that. They've don't have a great solution. So I feel like cruising is still at a standstill because of this zero tolerance. And I've done some inquiries on with my people, which I have a huge following of singles and very well-traveled guests. And I just asked them, I put an article and the article was basically explaining that vaccinated people are carry the same amount of COVID when they're spreading it, when they contract it, as non-vaccinated. The article also, by the way, still in the first paragraph said that they still recommend being vaccinated because the hospitalization is much less and your risk of being seriously ill is much less if you're vaccinated. So that's in the first paragraph. But I got such backlash from a few people, and one of them was the biggest backlash was that you are causing doubt. And I said, I'm not causing doubt about the vaccine. I'm not even really against the vaccine. I don't want people to be forced to have it, but people sure are happy to have it. So, you know, I don't like the fact that they're forcing people to have it for travel because of my personal situation in the travel business, but I'm not even against it. But this two people actually, they just could not get past the fact that I was even inquiring what people thought, because I was trying to get to the point where I just want people to realize there's no such thing as zero COVID. Like, stop with the zero tolerance, because that's not possible with the virus that we have and the situation we have. So we need to stop that bar. That should not be the bar. Zero tolerance should not be the bar for us to be traveling again. It should just be about sickness, of course, and anybody that's super ill, and, of course, a certain percentage, just like Norwalk and other issues that you have in a closed environment like schools and office buildings. But the zero tolerance thing, I want people to understand that it's not possible. So I asked them what they thought, and just me even asking the question created such havoc with people that I've known because they felt that I was part of the problem. And I'm casting doubt with people with the vaccine.
Oh,
and everybody
you
vaccine.
Cross the line. And you mess
yeah,
with the fears. You see, I wrote down four words here. Fear, delusion, assumption, lies. It starts with fear. This whole thing has always been about fear. That fear leads to delusions. Oh, I can be cured with the COVID vaccine. Everything's going to be perfect and wonderful. Nothing will happen to me, which leads to assumptions. I'm going to get the vaccine, therefore I'm fine, which leads to lies that anybody who says otherwise, you know, is you know, they're not telling the truth. They're on the wrong side of this issue. How dare you question this? You know, and it all comes back to fear. It's a cycle of fear. That's what I think. Shelby?
I agree.
Okay. That was easy.
Yeah,
Jean?
I was going to say, it's interesting how many people think that the vaccine is the only way to get this country moving again and to get rid of COVID. COVID's never going to go away. Hopefully it won't be as prevalent as it is now, but we don't even know how prevalent it is. And what gets me is if it would be treated like a lot of people are saying helps people that have COVID to help them get better. But in this country, it's like those people, doctors, are shunned. They're trying to be silenced or get silenced, lose their medical license. I mean, since when should a doctor be fearful of losing their job, their medical license, by giving someone a medication just because other people don't want you to have it?
Shelby, why don't they stock hydroxychloroquine on the ships? Why don't they stock the treatments?
Well,
we know the treatments, we know the cures.
Because there haven't, that isn't what the mass media has thought, and they haven't tested it. The mass media has not said, nor has they, I think they keep kiboshing most of the studies
so that we don't have that information.
You keep saying it's a cure, but just because you say it's a cure, there still needs to be a study that's well-documented, that's got a huge amount of people.
There are hundreds. There are hundreds of studies worldwide, and they have been
certified
since...
They're not certified by CDC or WHO, so it has to. they have to get on board with that.
But they're not going to, because they're pushing vaccines.
They're never going to be. The WHO, that Trump did the best thing he could have to get us out of there, because I think they're as corrupt as Fauci. But I was on a Facebook post the other day, and someone asked, hey, who's getting the vaccine? It's a medical post. And 99% of the people said they're either got the third injection now, or they're scheduled to get it. And they were like, yep, that's the only way to go. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope you guys are not young, because we do not know what it's going to be doing to the next generation or the generation after that.
And that's such a great question, and I don't understand why that question isn't at least posed a little bit. And that's my response to anyone. Again, I have a very unique situation, and I'm not sitting on the fence because I'm trying to be neutral. I'm really not sure. I don't like to stand behind anything unless I'm 100% positive. And I'm not 100% positive that the vaccine is doing any harm to anyone. I don't know. I know that people seem to not go in the hospital as much, which is great, and they're really happy about it, which is great. However, I do not also know what's going to happen in 2, 5, 10 years. And nobody, anyone that says that they know it's 100% safe, that drives me crazy, because there's no possible way but a time traveler would know that. So, you know, you can, for yourself, do I think vaccines are the way to go? I do. I think that that's the only way the American public wants to receive their everything. They want it by a shot. Just put it in my arm. Most of America wants that. Okay, fine, let it go. But you telling me that it's 100% safe is such an insane lie and stretch. It doesn't make you explode. That's true. Maybe even it helps you forego the hospital for whatever, anytime you come to COVID. Maybe that's true. But you don't know what's going to happen in 2 to 5 years. You don't. And nobody does, except for a time traveler. So when they tell us it's 100% safe, that is like a guttural reaction for anyone like us. Because that's a blatant lie, because we know that that's – I would prefer them tell me that, you know what, this is definitely going to help you not go to the hospital, but I don't know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 or 4 years. And if they said that, I'd be like, okay, you know, maybe I could just rub elbows with that and, like, you know, support that. But to tell me that it's completely safe – when you have no clue, there's no possible way you could know. It's so – it's just so like red flash alert, 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 you know, that you don't want to believe anything else. But, you know, and oxymoron or ironically, though, I do agree that vaccines are the only way to get people moving because that is what people
Why?
Want.
Why, you know, because that's like democracy. That's like medical democracy. Because this is a really important point. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant what you're saying. I just disagree completely, not with what you're saying, but with the medical. You know, but I'm calling it medical democracy. In other words, we get the shot because most Americans want it, and that's how we move forward. That's absolutely brilliant because I agree that a lot of people think that way. I think it's about 60-40, 60% for it, 40% against, just based on my readings of what I'm seeing, the people I'm talking to. What's that?
I said I would say it's more 70-30 at best.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, but the thing is, there's still a large percentage of people don't want it. But the thing is, we don't, you know, just as we're not a democracy, you know, where we take a vote on whether somebody's innocent or guilty, we actually have a trial and present evidence and, you know, we have due process and constitutional rights. The same thing applies to medicine. Okay. If you go by the government study, and we talked about this on the show before, how government, you know, researchers are paid by government to come up with a specific agenda and then find the documentation to reinforce it. The policy of Dr. Fascist and all the folks in the health bureaucracy is vaccines. Then they bring out all the information to support it. They suppress and ban and literally make illegal all the cures and treatments. Okay. So that leads everybody to vaccines. But if you take the millions, well, I don't know how many there are, but there are thousands of doctors around the world that are publishing studies on ivermectin. Ivermectin is really popular in Europe right now, you know, but you've got hydroxychloroquine, you've got all these different things, these treatments and these cures, but these are non-government doctors, okay? So in other words, these people do not have an agenda. They're just trying to save their patients. Oh, I'm sure some have an agenda too, but the point is that these are other points of view, but it's like you value, not just you, but folks that value the vaccines, value the government doctors' opinions more than the other doctors. And the problem is that the other doctors are the ones treating patients, right? And the government, like Dr. Fascist, hasn't seen a patient in 40 years. You know, he has no clue how to be an actual doctor. And he's not even a virologist. This guy has a basic medical degree. That's it. I mean, that's an accomplishment, having a medical degree. I mean, he's definitely a doctor, but he has no specialties, no special training, no nothing, okay? People don't know that. So the biggest problem is you have to be honest. Okay. If people, let me ask you, here's a question. So if I ask this as an independent talk show host, you know, Action Radio host, you know, would you rather have what they're calling a vaccine that has messenger RNA that teaches your body how to make trillions of spike proteins that are causing blood clots and damaging every organ in your body? Or would you like to have nothing and have a 99% chance of nothing serious happening to you from COVID? Or if something does happen to you, you know, take hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, possibly prevent it, you know, like a lot of us are doing now with quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin D3, you know, vitamin C and zinc. Would you rather have the preventive, the cure, or the spike protein immersion shot? If I put it on that basis, now what do you think?
Well, but now, but you're just making too many leaps of logic, in my opinion, because you're acting as if these things are true, that people have been told that those things are safe by a central government, that why do people like the vaccine? Because this is a society that we have created, and it's our normal, and it's our comfort zone. We get vaccinated. We know it's to prevent certain things. There is a very small amount
even
of people that get reactions to our – sorry, say that again?
Well, even if it doesn't, you just said yourself too that there was no Delta variant until people started being vaccinated. The vaccine causes the Delta variant because it brings about antibody-dependent enhancement, which actually creates the variant in vaccinated people because vaccinated people have a lower immune response to other things other than the specific thing they're vaccinated for, which is the original COVID virus, which died 8 months ago. It's gone. People are being vaccinated for something that doesn't exist. That's the scary part about
right,
it, yet believing
but
that it's working.
I think that's kind of getting off the topic of your question, which is your question is why wouldn't they prefer to have the ivermectin or whatever hydroxychloroquine treatment that you guys have heard other doctors research and give out as a preventative? Would they rather a preventative? I think so, but that's not what's being presented in the media. And it's not what's being, and if you're going to get on board, I mean, the FDA, I don't even follow the FDA, but for whatever reason, I saw a tweet that the FDA and I looked into it because I was just like, this is really incredible. And it was like, it was really sarcastic in its title. It was something to the effect of, don't treat yourself with horse medication. Ivermectin is not for humans. it went on to like go on and on and on about how you wouldn't treat, you know, animals are very different. And then it did have a little blurb about the fact that it is utilized in human consumption for certain parasites, but that this is not a parasite. And it was really like making you feel stupid if you wanted to utilize it. But yet in the if you really read it, it didn't have any real scientific premise either way. But that, and it would take that, it would take them saying that, yes, ivermectin works for people to want to take it, because that's not what they're saying. And I think you can ask people that have been led by a government that has done them pretty well. And I'll still say to this day, I've been around the world, I still haven't found a government better than the United States. And do I think the United States needs an overhaul? Yeah. But I still feel like we're the best of the worst. As far as freedom.
Where did that study come from? You know, because ivermectin is used in animals, but animals aren't that different. I bet you there's a ton of medicines that cross over between mammals, you know, horses, cows, you know, pigs, things like that.
Agreed. I
mean, you know, and people.
I totally agree with you. Yes, of course. Yeah. But that's not the way the article was written. So we're back to the media.
Of course not.
The messages,
but who wrote it? Was it written by vaccine sponsors?
And the FDA's FDA is important to people. And
okay,
they
who owns the FDA? Who owns the FDA?
The FDA is trusted.
FDA is owned by Big Pharma. Big Pharma supplies most of the FDA's budget through drug trials.
I'm fully aware of that, but most people are not, because that's not the message the media is sending.
Yeah,
the
they ought to listen to us.
But that's, again, why should they have to? They shouldn't have to. They should be able, if they're going to spend 15 minutes or 20 minutes out of their day listening to the news, they should be able to get a balanced report. And again, we're back to the media. We're back to the messaging. We're back to what's allowed to be said. It's the truth should be said. But then, you know, you've got the censorship now, which is nice, because they're like, oh yeah, this is great. The bad information isn't getting out. And then, you know, you have these people just
what
kind
is
of
the bad information is the correct information. The problem,
I got
Jocelyn I want to bring her in. Yeah. No, I understand.
The majority of people are not feeling that way.
But here's the problem, though. You're talking about, you know, like I say, it comes back to this whole democracy, what people want. People are told, if people get bad information, then they're going to want the wrong things. If they think that the misinformation is that hydroxychloroquine works, that's completely wrong. Hydroxychloroquine works. It's been proven over and over again. And the fact that people aren't getting that message is the problem.
I've had friends use it, and it hasn't worked. I've had friends use it for their families. I just had a girlfriend, had her whole family in the hospital with what they think is the Delta variant. But they're not even sure, because nobody's testing for the Delta variant, by the way, which is so funny.
Is there one?
In Florida,
is there a test
by the
it?
Way, in Bradenton.
There is,
they're not testing for the variant.
There
so it's
no
funny
test.
That they can say that, but they're not testing for the variant. The nurse laughed at my girlfriend when she asked her if she could tell if it was a Delta variant. She said, oh, that's funny. How would we be able to tell that? Nobody has any tests for that. So they're saying it's a Delta variant when nobody knows anyway. But she did. They definitely took hydroxychloroquine. They were onto that. That did not do anything. I don't know if it helped, but they were all hospitalized. So you don't know what you don't know. It's not a controlled study. It doesn't work.
Yeah, you're just not getting the right studies. I need to give you all kinds of studies, because they're out there.
And also,
that's kind of the same excuse that the other side would use. You know, you have to realize that what you're asking for, as far as like having people use this preventative measure, first of all, has not been endorsed by the biggest companies that we have been led by for a gazillion years. And it's being actually touted as something that could hurt you. And you're expecting people to overwhelmingly feel, well, that they must be lying. I like, this is a good example. No. I'm going to listen to the scientists, or am I going to listen to some joker on Facebook that I don't even know, like, graduated from, you know, advanced
but they're
science.
Not listening to the scientists. That's the problem. They're not listening to the scientists, number one. Number two, if I would be in the hospital, what do? They put you on a vent. That's the number one death sentence. That is a death sentence known. Number three, that doctors in the emergency rooms are telling people with COVID, please don't come in here. They're going to kill you. So it's like we are not being told the truth. We need to speak up for ourselves, and we only know what's good for ourselves. But Fauci is a lie. The CDC is a lie. The FDA is a lie. How can they approve a medication that hasn't even been manufactured yet?
Yeah, what Jean's talking about, and just to make it clear for everybody who's listening, is that the comorbidity, the new vaccine coming out of Pfizer, the one that they say is approved, they're not manufacturing it. There is no comorbidity or whatever it's called. It probably won't be produced for at least 3 or 4 years, if ever. So people think they're getting a licensed, approved vaccine when they're really getting the old experimental use authorization, you know, the original Pfizer vaccine, which is under a completely different standard. But here's another thing, Shelby. I want to understand why you believe government scientists who are on the take, who are being bribed, who are pushing, you know, for, I mean, the CDC and the FDA, those folks make billions of dollars personally, you know, on patents that they own, and they patented coronavirus. They've patented these vaccines. They patented remdesivir. They don't want hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin because they've been around so long. They're off patent. They're beyond patent. There's no money in them, but they do cure. So the problem is you've got people who are interested. I mean, these people, if these experts are so good, why did they kill 600,000 people when they could have stopped the pandemic in 2 weeks with hydroxychloroquine? That's mass murder. That's genocide. That's what we're talking about here.
That's not what happened, and you can't prove that. And I don't know why you believe that you can't prove that they would all have been cured by hydroxychloroquine.
Studies say 85% of them would have been saved. Peter McCullough says that. He's one of the top doctors in the country. Dr. Zelenko, we've got doctors around. Like I say, studies are going on all over. You've got African countries that don't have anywhere near the amount of COVID because they have hydroxychloroquine for malaria. I mean, Josie in the conversation, too. We're sort of into her time, too. We're
having
guests at the
top of
the hour.
And I'm one of the ones that got cured with hydroxychloroquine and acetromycin within 5 days. I was back dancing Zumba. Me and my husband.
You know, cured, and you just wouldn't have gotten sick. You don't know that. So you say these things like,
"Yes,
I got
we
cured.
Do.
Yes,
we do. Yes,
sick.
We do."
You don't know that you haven't sick. Go through it.
Hydroxychloroquine works 100% in acetromycin, vitamin C. Yes, I do
you
know.
You do not know that.
Yes, I
you
do
don't,
know.
Because there is
yes,
no possible
yes,
way
I
scientifically
do know.
To detect both
the
things.
CDC,
you can't have it.
The CDC
Stop saying you
are
cured
talk-
by it. You don't know that.
Shelby, you're letting your assumptions get in the way of the truth. This is a perfect example of assumptions overruling truth.
The FDA is a crook.
You don't know that.
Our governments are crooks. They all are crooks. They're criminals, and they want to murder more than 50 million Americans. If you want to be in the list, go ahead. But you will die with this vaccine. I hear every day I'm talking
to people that are not dying.
They will. You will die if you get the vaccine.
Look
oh, yes,
how many
you
people
will die.
Look how many people died getting the vaccine.
Exactly.
Let's just
but
say,
this is worse.
Yeah. When do you think everybody that's got the vaccine
whatever.
Is going to die?
Whatever. But you know what? I hear from doctors. Why do you think all the nurses, there's so many nurses, they're about to walk out on the first of this month in one of the hospitals here locally, Sacred Heart. Doctors and nurses are walking out. So is a lot of teachers at a college that I personally know. They're walking out because they know.
Well, there's a lot of people telling, there's also people walking out of hospitals saying that they're not going to serve you unless you're vaccinated. So you've got that bunch
well,
of people
too. Bad,
too.
Because they want you dead. They want you dead.
It's just
and
it's,
bottom
it's,
line. It's, bottom line is, you know what? I can tell you and tell you and tell you, but if your mind is already set, what you believe, hey, there's nothing I can do. Take the vaccine and die, because you will. You will die anywhere from the time you take the vaccine to 3 or 4 years. You'll be alive. My mom's cousin took the vaccine. She died of a stroke from the vaccine. Her daughter took
that.
The vaccine. 5 months later, she died from blood clots in her head. One of our best friends just had open-heart surgery from the vaccine. A 29-year-old young man at Sacred Heart, he just died from the vaccine, blood clots in his heart. There's about 8 people already dead in my church after the vaccine. You know, you just have to see it, and I'm seeing it every day. And nurses are coming from ICU, the ER, they're telling me the truth. I said, why don't you come forward and tell the truth? I don't want to lose my job. You know, the mentality
Josie,
of Americans is all about money, money, money. Yeah. And that's sad because they're exchanging money over human beings.
That's not a helpful argument by any stretch. So,
well, it is
one,
helpful because I know the truth. And people are still living under the rock, and it's a shame.
I know. That's not proof. And I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just saying find the proof and then get it to the media. But
we have the proof.
First of all, you don't know. You don't know that you were cured by a drug.
Can I tell you something? Let me tell you. In Peru, you could buy hydroxychloroquine all day long. Now it's you cannot buy it in Peru. We have sent some to some of our friends from the United States to Peru, something that you can buy without a prescription in Peru. Why do you think this criminal government took Lysol from our shelf? Because when you spray Lysol, it kills COVID. This is an agenda to wipe out innocent people in this world, period. And people are still blinded by the devil because they don't see the truth. They will not take the blinders off, and they never will. The same thing to accept Jesus. Many people will be left behind. And now Ron DeSantis is giving some treatment that I don't think is any good either. So I have to finish the video and talk to some of the doctors today about it because I haven't seen the whole thing for me to make a comment, but I don't think it's good either. This is not good. This is not good at all. And I'm sorry that I got into this topic instead of mine, but.
Well, let's switch to that. Shelby, I really appreciate you being able to be here because obviously we the three of us, the rest of us are, pretty strongly in mind with what's going on.
I don't feel like you're going to change anyone's mind with this. There's got to be a better argument.
Well, we can't change. We can't change minds if you discount the studies that we have and the information we have, just saying it's just not true when it is. That's where assumptions are stronger than truth. I've said this since the show began.
That your
assumptions, but your assumptions that things aren't true means we can't get through to show you that they are. That's the problem. And it's not just you. It's millions of people across the country.
There's no way you can say that you've recovered from something that it cured you when you haven't been sick with it to begin with to see what the ending would have been like. That's the thing. I'm just saying as a scientist, you can't.
No, I understand. You can't say that about the vaccine either.
You can't
say that people who have died shortly after a vaccine didn't die from the vaccine, otherwise healthy people, because obviously they did. There's too many assumptions here.
Absolutely.
Let me hold you up just for a second. I want to get to Josie because we have a guest at 8 o'clock.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for the opportunity. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, Shelby. Thank you.
Bye.
I really do appreciate her coming on and like I say, disagreeing with us because it's good for us to hear these things. All right. We've got a little bit of time. Jean, go ahead, and then I want to get to Josie's report. Yeah.
Okay.
Josie?
No, that's fine. Josie, go ahead.
Pretty feisty morning
Greg,
here. This is interesting.
Yeah, it breaks my heart because I see a lot of nurses and doctors talking about it, and they're going to be leaving their jobs. My daughter already left her job because, see, doctors are well trained in medicine to know how to give prescriptions besides, their talent, but they don't know how to make vaccines. They don't have a clue what's in the vaccines. They only have to believe what the CDC and the FDA is telling you. And the FDA has 2 weeks, and they're not going to come up to tell the world the truth. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, they don't have to because they're not making the approved vaccine they're talking about. They're still making the old one. Or they have so many millions of doses. I was just reading this morning. I got a thing from Liberty Council. I'm going to contact this group. But Shelby's the perfect example. God love Shelby. But she's the perfect example of what happens when assumptions are stronger than truth. I mean, when you create a series of assumptions, you can't let the truth in because it violates your assumptions. And this is, it's hard for people to understand that the government doctors are told what the conclusion is. Then they have to find the information to back it up. Whereas independent doctors, they just want to cure their patients. So they will say, okay, what works? And then they talk about what works. It's a different way of looking at it. But people, because they believe it, and Shelby talks about, you have to have both sides of, I wish we were here to talk about this. You have to have both sides of the story presented in the media. Now that doesn't work. That was the fairness doctrine. Okay. And the problem with that is you mandate people, taking nobody wants to take two sides. But what you do have to do is disclose who you are, or at least be honest about who you are and be biased in a direction. I know the bias of the mainstream news. Okay. I know the bias of Action Radio. We're fiercely independent. I criticize everybody. So that's it. So we are one of the truly independent news services out there. Anyway, you got about 6 minutes. I want to let you go and tell us what you found out for this week. And then you're welcome to stick around with Jerome Bell. Which I think is going to be a great guest in about 5 minutes. Jesse?
The illegals are pouring in, and a lot of them are complaining that they have rights, they don't have rights. You know, when I see videos like that, it really disappoints me because our country, we are paying this crooked in Congress and all these senators and governors and leaders, and nobody's stepping up. Where's all the Republicans to say we need to have people on the border protecting our border? And a lot of these crooked, they're just going on a vacation while a lot of our Afghanistan Americans in Afghanistan are going to be killed by the 31st. But there's a lot of videos that I was seeing from Mexico, directly from Mexico, where that's where I get all my information because you don't see it here. There's so many in El Chaparral near Tijuana, you know. There's a lot of illegals ready to come in, many from Haiti, many. I mean, there's so many Haitians, Jamaican. There's a lot of Cubans. And a lot of these Cubans are the Cubans that they were in Mexico that Obama deported, 30,000 of them, when he went to visit Castro, remember, when he was alive?
I don't remember the deportation of Cubans. These could have been Cuban-Americans. These were Cuban nationals? Because you can't deport Cuban-Americans.
These were a lot of Cubans that they just arrived and they came through the border. So they didn't have any legal status yet. And they got caught, and they were sent back. About 30,000 of them are at the border. A lot of them in this group coming right now, a lot of them are Cubans. Yeah, I was listening the way they were talking, and they were interviewing. They said they're from Cuba. It's sad because we should have granted political asylum immediately, like the 24, the mental ill patient, turn around and send back to Cuba. They're probably already beheaded and hung already, those people. Because you cannot escape from Cuba and be sent back because you will be killed immediately.
Well, that was always the intention. You know, Obama doesn't care about human life. He doesn't care about American lives. He doesn't care about any lives. He cares about his agenda. That's the dangerous thing. That's like the COVID thing. They care about their agenda. They don't care about human life. And this is the scary part. And they've convinced people that they're right. What kind of rights do these – you mentioned something really significant just a couple minutes ago, that these illegal aliens are coming across our border claiming that they have rights. They have no rights. What rights are they claiming?
They say human rights. That's how they're claiming human rights. They have human rights to come here. And the other thing is because Joe Biden promised them to come to America, and they have sold everything they had. They cannot go back because they don't have nothing. They don't have jobs. They don't have home. They don't have nothing to go back to. Well, you're right. They need to be sent back. And a judge in California, he's saying, and, you know, this is a radical judge. I'm kind of surprised. A judge in California, he says, we need to keep them on the other side of us until they get approved for political asylum or whatever status they had before on a waiting list or whatever. And that was Trump's policy. And people are like, what? This judge is saying that in California, you know?
Yeah, I was worried that myself. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
I know. So they're kind of like waking up a little bit, but I don't know. This is an agenda. This is what's going to happen. They're going to wipe out all our military because I believe 80% of our military are vaccinated, and you know they're going to die. So who are we going to be fighting? The radical communists, Muslims coming in, the cartels, thousands of Haitians that they were brought here by the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens. Over 10,000 during the riots and everything, and a lot of illegals are being well organized by the Democrats because a lot of men are coming in all this caravan right now. Only men, barely a few children and women, and we're gonna have a civil war here in this country. It's coming up soon, and our military is gonna be wiped out by the vaccine. So
you know, it's interesting.
This is your agenda.
Our guest in the second hour, Jerome Bell, is already on the line, so I'm going to let him listen in for a little bit to sort of get an idea of what's going on. And one of the things to think about
is
the military.
Well, it's not even 8
Oh, I know. No, you're not. I'm not done with you. I'm going to hold you over for a couple minutes anyway.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, I just want to let – this is the way I can talk directly to the guest without having to go off the air and do stuff.
Yes.
But the thing is, the military went through Gulf War syndrome with the anthrax vaccine. And I don't know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the military got sick from that vaccine. And a lot of them never went to the Gulf. They got it here. So They got the vaccine here and they were sick. It has a chemical called squalene. It's the same chemical in the flu shots. I pretty much guarantee it's in the COVID shots as well, though they haven't disclosed it. But they have this awful new chemical, graphene oxide, that we went over in the show too. So the military is repeating the same mistake, but it's the government again. It's the same government that mandates the vaccine so they can make money. I mean, how much money is Dr. Fauci, that's what we call Dr. Fauci, Jerome, how much money is he making off his patent on coronavirus and his patent on the vaccines? I mean, he owns patents, he gets license fees, he gets royalties. Yes. You know, we need to check his offshore accounts. We need to check all the money this guy has. But he's not the only one. The entire bureaucracy is wrapped up in it. You know, there
We need to investigate his taxes.
That's what we need to do.
We need to investigate his taxes, Nancy Pelosi's taxes, all of his crooks taxes, because they're all behind. You can check them out and see that this, but you know what? Right now, at this point, I don't think it's just money for them. I think it's just like a Hunger Game. This is like one of those movies that you think, oh, man, this is in the movie. But this is reality. These people are evil. This is Luciferian, especially Bill Gates, Dorado Clown, Soros, okay, George Soros, and Bill Gates are the head honchos with China. They want to wipe out the United States of America, and more than half of Americans will be dead with this vaccine. People are blinded, like I said, by Satan. But see, the Bible describes it so clear that people are going to go through delusions, and this is delusions that a lot of people are seeing and believing, and this is Satan lying. Go ahead and take – I had a lady from high school in Gulf Breeze yesterday, and she just vaccinated her 17-year-old little girl, and all the young girls are being vaccinated because the teacher says so. And I'm like, what? No.
This is like Nazi Germany, you know, believe in the Fuhrer, believe in the vaccine, believe in the cause, or 1984. Yeah. It's like this mass brainwashing scheme, you know, and, you know, I want to know when Americans stop being Americans, when we stopped questioning, when we stopped, you know, saying, you know, what the hell's going on here? I'm not going to take that. You know, I wish we had the culture, you know, of like 50 years ago where people questioned everything. I mean, the 60s was kind of a bizarre time, but at least they were questioning. They said, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? You know, where's our question authority bumper stickers? Now it's like, we are the authority. Go ahead, Jean.
And one more thing.
Oh,
our churches are not going to be able, our Alabaptist church here in Pensacola are not going to be able to give an exemption letter for people to be exempt from their religious belief because our pastor opened our doors to give the vaccine to all the older folks, and many are dying already, actually, and because that's what another pastor told me in a church in New York City. They're going to have to give me an exemption because the letters are not going to mean nothing if our pastor intends to give letters. They're going to say, what a joke. Are you a joke or what? Because you believe in the vaccine. You gave it to all your congregation here, just about.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
Last comment, Gene, then I want to get to Jerome.
Please,
Josie, stay on the line as long as you can. Yeah. Gene, quick comment. I'm going to make Jerome's line live.
Just a comment as to why did we give up our well-being of ourselves or what we think is right for ourselves or us wanting, knowing what's best for ourselves and relying on someone else to tell us what's best for ourselves. I'm thinking that they have our best interest at heart. I mean, you want to hope that, but the government has proven time and time again that's not true. And also I think, too, with just with everything that's being suppressed news-wise, for people to think that we're being told the truth, I think that's a big wake-up call right there.
Yeah. Let me welcome to the show Jerome Bell. He's running for Congress. He was in the Navy for 27 years, chief petty officer. He's got all kinds of you know, what we call the classic conservative views, and but he has some really interesting things to say on a video recently. So, Jerome Bell, welcome to our typical Tuesday feisty debates, you know, from our regular folks here. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Jerome Bell, your line is live. Is he there? Did you put us on hold? My guest put us on hold. Are you there, sir? His line's live. Huh. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Hopefully he'll call us. I'll tell you what.
I just heard a good morning, and that was it.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I hear somebody in the background. Sir, can you call back in? Let's try that. Let's just have you call back in. Because I'm not hearing anything on your line. So just hang up and call us back. And if you can get that message.
Where is he from?
Virginia. He's running for Congress in Virginia. Virginia. Really important district. I really want to talk to him, too. Sir, can you hear us at all?
Call back.
They need good conservative people running in Virginia, that's
yes.
for sure.
Let me send him a quick Facebook message. So if you can, Gene and Josie, just kind of take over for a real quick second here.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I would just tell people is do your due diligence. Just don't
yes.
look at the surface of things. Investigate. And don't just investigate the articles when you first put it in your search engine and what comes up. Why? Because what comes up on Google is or in Yahoo is a lot different than what comes up in DuckDuckGo. And that in itself is very sad. And so I'm not telling someone either way, but make the decision that's best for you. Don't let fear rule your decision. And also don't let what other people say sway you for the
exactly.
fact that you need to find things out for yourself. But my thinking is it's very sad when I don't want to say the norm, but some people are so closed-minded because they just want it to fit their narrative, and that's not how it is. Regardless, I know some people about the vaccine are like that, and I know some that don't want the vaccine.
Okay, I'm getting a little background noise.
Junior
Lines, I'm getting background from you. Are you on the computer as well or no?
No, I'm on my phone.
Okay, that's better.
You know, the sad thing is Americans are well-trained to trust and believe, and this is what's happening. They're trusting and believing these croaks because we always got vaccines as babies. So we're so brainwashed
they were different.
Since we were
yeah.
babies that it's okay to take the vaccine and that this is not like a regular vaccine. This is totally different. This
yeah.
is evil, what they're doing to us humans. Is he back
yeah.
on?
Let me hold you up just for a second. Yes, Jerome Bell. Yeah, after that great introduction too. Are you there now, sir?
Yeah. Hi. Hey. Sorry about that. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. There we go. I know you were listening a little bit earlier. And again, Tuesdays get a little crazy around here. We've got Gene, our producer, on, and Josie, our Latino reporter, is on as well. Do you have any reaction to what you heard so far? And then we'll get into your congressional campaign and background and all those good things.
Oh yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it's always good to. You know, listen at this vaccine conversation. And I would just tell Shelby, if she's still listening, she needs to look at the new Israeli study that says natural immunity, our natural immunity is better than the vaccine. And that comes from Israel, who has vaccinated over 95% of their population.
Wow.
And they're having a resurgence of COVID, whether you want to call it the Delta variant or whatever, and all of them have been vaccinated. So people really need
wow.
to look at things outside of the United States, research outside of the United States, because we don't get the truth because of Big Pharma. And as far as the FDA is concerned, every drug that has been pulled off the shelves by the FDA was once approved by the FDA. So you can't really trust the FDA either. And if you really want to know some other things about the FDA, Dr. Fauci's or fascist or whatever, however you call
we'll
it.
Dr. Fascist,
wife,
yeah, feel free. You can take that.
Yeah, his wife actually sits on the board of the FDA that approves vaccines. So
what a surprise.
I mean, you know,
it's family business.
You know, it goes very deep. You know, it goes yeah. very deep. And really all you have to do is follow the money. You know, and you know, I like to hear these people talk about follow the science, and then these are the same people that tell you there's more than two genders. So, you know,
I knew I was going to like having you on the show. I'm really happy that you're here.
Oh, man,
well, let me ask you this, sir. It's great, yeah. But you've been in the military 27 years, so you were. I don't know if you were there. I'm trying to think. Gulf War would be 80s. That'd be more than. Well, I'm just trying to think. Do you remember the anthrax vaccine and Gulf War syndrome? Remember that whole problem?
Yes, I actually was still in the military, in the Navy when they started the anthrax vaccine, and at the time I was deployable when we were going over to, you know, the Middle East and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually part of the people that actually started the vaccine trials, and I say trials. I got one shot and I had a bad, very bad reaction, and so there are hundreds of thousands of other military people that had these the vaccine. And after that, we as a collective, I mean, it was thousands. We were walking away from careers because we were not going to take any more of those vaccines, even though they were mandatory. We were just going to walk away. And a couple of years later, I think maybe in 2004, I believe it was. I'm sorry, 2012, 2014, somewhere around there. There was a case, you know, that was brought up. And Judge Sullivan actually, and this is documented and this is precedent, he said that the vaccine was illegal because the military could not mandate that military personnel get an experimental vaccine that was not approved. And that's what was happening. This vaccine was not approved. And so then that's when the military shut down and stopped giving this vaccine to the military after the judge put a stop to it. And this is the same thing that's going on right now with this COVID vaccine. I mean, you have these other countries. You know, like I said, I do a lot of research, and I really watch other countries to see what's happening. And you can see over in Africa, there's really not any COVID in Africa because they
yeah, we talked about that.
People,
yeah.
You know, ivermectin. Right. I mean, right. You guys definitely talked about it, but I guess Shelby hadn't been listening, or she doesn't really read outside of the USA. Because there are studies, and it's worldwide. India, who has by far a bigger population than the United States, have been giving their people ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and they don't have nearly the COVID that we have here in the United States. Why? Because they don't have an FDA. If you look at these other countries that are doing well, you know, look at Vietnam. Vietnam didn't have hardly any COVID, right? So you look at these other countries that are doing well, in response to what's happening here in the United States, and you find one common factor. None of them have the FDA. None of them have big pharmaceutical companies that line the pockets of congressmen and congresswomen who use insider trading to line their pockets with the FDA. People have to understand that the FDA is created by Congress, and the FDA cannot approve anything without the approval of Congress. So, you know, it's a whole big conglomerate. This is why we have the high healthcare cost here in the United States versus other countries because of the big pharmaceuticals. And also, these vaccines are definitely causing, if you look at, I have a graph, and if you look at the charts and you look at when COVID, because COVID basically had died out. COVID was gone because a lot of people actually had caught COVID before they caught it.
People were catching COVID in November.
Where'd you go?
October, November of 2019, and they didn't know what it was. They were just telling people it was an upper respiratory infection. People were getting it, and people were being cured.
Sure.
Did
you go off speaker or something? Hold on. We can't hear you. You've gone off. You're either on speaker or off speaker. Or you hit a button on your phone. I can't hear you as well.
Right up. And so they came up with this scary word, the change of the flu, basically, and called it COVID, because they knew something was man-made. And so now with the vaccine, once the vaccine started, the mandatory, and people started taking these shots, you see a drastic uprise and a drastic uptick in COVID patients. Right? Like during the original pregnancy,
okay, now you're back. Your phone cut out there. I mean, you were really, really quiet for about a minute, and we missed what you were saying. Did you hit a button or something, or what happened?
No, I didn't. I'm actually in my car because I'm traveling, so you still hear me, right?
Must have been a bad cell area then. Yeah, so if you just go over a little bit about the last 30 seconds of what you're saying, I don't want, because it sounded great from what I could hear. Yeah, but I want it on the record.
Okay, yeah, what I was saying was once the vaccine started, you see a big uptick and an uprise.
Right.
And the COVID, and now with the vaccines, you're seeing more and worse hospitalizations off of this, because you didn't see that. They told you these hospitals were full when the original COVID came around, and that was a lie. I actually went around and videotaped a lot of these emergency rooms. There was nobody in these emergency rooms. And my son's a doctor. He's a doctor down in one of the biggest cities in America, and that's down in Atlanta, and he works in one of the biggest hospitals. And during the uprise of COVID, you know, the height of COVID, you know, I called him. I said, hey, man, are your hospitals full with COVID. He said, Dad, we got like 18 patients in the hospital. And that was it, right?
Yeah.
So
we should get him on the show.
With this, and no, he won't come on the show. And now, And now with these vaccines, now these hospitals, and now they are becoming full because of this Delta variant that's being given off of these vaccines. And also, Shelby should also go and check out the new CDC report and the reports from Israel again that says the people that are vaccinated are 251 times more viral than anyone that catches COVID naturally.
Yeah. So well, Shelby makes a really good point, though, that people believe their illusions. They believe their delusions and illusions. They believe their assumptions. They are fear-based, and the fear, and what did I write down here earlier, fear, delusion, assumption, lie. You know, it's their fear leads to these delusions. These delusions lead to wrong assumptions. These assumptions lead to living lies. You know, it's a scary thing. I don't spend a lot of time on that because we got so many issues to cover with you, sir. But I want to get, you know, in terms of, I want to get Josie and Gene to be able to ask you questions also. But in terms of what you can do as Congress, and just to make it clear, because we sort of introduced you kind of haphazardly, Jerome Bell is running for Congress, I think, of the 16th district in Virginia. Where exactly you're running from?
No, it's the 2nd district.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Tidewater, Hampton Roads area, the Eastern Shore.
Okay.
You know, Williamsburg City, that, you know, York County, mm-hmm. that area.
So what can you do as a member of Congress about this? How would you change the FDA, the way drugs are authorized or approved, or just this, the whole, even the healthcare system, if you want to go into that as well? What can you do, or what are you proposing?
Well, I'm getting with Trisha from New Jersey. And we're actually going to unroll our healthcare plan. But one of the things that we're going to is we're going to get more practitioners involved, hopefully within the healthcare system, and basically go around and try to alleviate and get rid of basically the FDA. More countries, you know, what other countries do is that these doctors and these providers, they actually put, and President Trump was actually trying to go down this road with, you know, mandating that these doctors and these hospitals put up a price list of what their prices, you know, of what their services cost. And when you do that, you drive competition, okay? And what we want to do is bring in these providers and really get off of the government pit, if you want to say, as far as providing health care through the government and opening it up to citizens at a lower cost. You know, and, you know, bringing in competition, bringing in drugs, and being able to get these other medicines from outside of the United States, outside of the purview of the big pharmaceutical companies and the FDA. So what we would do, what I would want to do in Congress is hopefully sponsor a law and make some laws that says that if you're an American citizen, a free American citizen, you can get your drugs, you can get your medications from anywhere around the world and make it legal to where it may be beneficial, maybe low cost to you, to where you can afford it and you don't really necessarily have to go through the medical system. And also make it law to where these doctors and these providers can also do the same thing, so they won't be pressured into having to push, you know, this poison and push these medications, you know, these supposed cures and these treatments, which they are just treatments, they're not cures, through the FDA and the big pharmaceutical companies that basically just keep you sick so they can just keep making money. And also I want to make law that says naturopathic medication and naturopathic doctors are legal. So if you want to go the natural way of curing your disease or natural way of treating yourself, it would be legal to do that, and these doctors won't have to be fearful of being put in jail or killed. So that's what I would want to do.
Yeah, I am. We have a couple of associates here, the friends of mine of the show, Dr. Zelenko and Dr. Judy Mikovits. So, you know, we have past shows with them. So if you need information, I can get you probably connected with them. You know, maybe they can help out and be a good source, or just listen to our shows, you know, with them on. I mean, so we're here to help you as well. We're advocates. This is not a journalism show. This is not an impartial show. We take positions. We advocate. I want to go to Josie and then to Gene. See, and it doesn't have to be on this topic, but pretty much any topic you want. Josie, do you have a question for Jerome Bell?
I don't have a question, but my opinion is I think the government needs to get their hands out of our health care.
Okay.
They got enough to do that they don't have to get involved.
And the other thing is, I'm surprised that the healthcare companies are not coming forward and say, it is time to stop all this vaccine, because you know what? They're going to end up paying for a lot of these medical bills. So I'm surprised, unless they're getting a kickback already and getting all this money. I don't know if you know that.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about vaccine liability. There's no liability on the vaccine manufacturers. We've written our own bill here at Action Radio, because that's what we do. We have an entire department of citizen legislation, which I'm hoping to inspire you, if you're interested, you know, to incorporate into your campaign. But that would be one of the first things I would think, you know, could be addressed, is restoring full product liability to big pharma, especially vaccine manufacturers. Sir?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't believe these big companies should be immune from something that don't give immunity, okay, you know, because these vaccines don't give immunity. Yeah, I think they need to be held responsible. And, you know, and when they do that, you know, they're just off the hook, you know, and I believe that's wrong. I believe people should have, one, informed consent, okay? If you don't have informed consent, and that's complete knowledge of what's going into your body, okay, then you should be able, and if you get sick, then you should be able to sue. And I believe that anyone that has gotten ill from the vaccine should be able to sue the person that gave it to them, their company that allowed them to give it to you, give it to them, and did not give them informed consent. Because there is not any, let's follow the science again, there is not any informed anything on this virus. COVID has not even been isolated enough to even call it COVID. That's why there is no test for the Delta variant, because they cannot isolate a variant off something that they haven't isolated in the first place that truly doesn't exist.
Right. So
a lot of this is fraud, is fraudulent, and I believe people should be able to sue.
Well, how about – excellent. I mean, I agree with you completely. What about the Federal Trade Commission? If these folks are giving deceptive, false and deceptive information, advertising, you know, they're saying that we have an approved vaccine, yet it hasn't been manufactured yet and probably won't be for another 3 years, if at all, that they're passing off the emergency use authorization, original Pfizer vaccine for the original SARS-CoV-2 that doesn't exist anymore. It's gone, you know, and I think it was gone back July 4th of 2020. I call it COVID Independence Day. That's when the CDC had the death rate going pretty much to zero, and then of course they boosted it up and changed the numbers and everything else. But the whole point is that you know, the Federal Trade Commission should be involved in stopping this, even if it means stopping the FDA. Can we bring them into this?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that they have the obligation to stop it as well. I'm on board with that 100%. And they should also be liable for allowing fraudulent information to be disseminated into the public. Because like you say, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people do trust the news, and they do trust what the government says, you know, but unfortunately, they shouldn't, you know, even though I'm running for a government position, but I'm running for a government to hopefully be one of the truth tellers and instill face back into the government by allowing truth to be known again and to be said again, and not, you know, by this corporate media that's held by only six companies, that's ran by six companies, and all they do is just continue to repeat the same thing over and over, because they're complicit in this as well.
Well, you're definitely one of the good guys, and it's nice to have you running for office, and so I really appreciate it. But they're going to get after you. You know, you upset people's illusions, you upset their assumptions, and you really walk into a firestorm, because people take their assumptions to the grave rather than challenge what they believe. I want to bring Gene in, then I got a totally different question for you, sir. Gene, did you have a question for Jerome Bell?
Yeah, but first I just want to say thank you for getting the information out there and what you're doing. But also, why? Do you want to run for office when you see
that's
what's
a great
going
question.
On? And especially starting with your viewpoints, it's like, why? We need people like you, but why?
I mean, I actually get that a lot, and probably because I'm half crazy. But you know, I spent 27 years, almost three decades of my life defending this country and defending what this country is supposed to stand for. And that's the Constitution of the United States, and that's being naturally free by God's law. You know, I raised three boys into men, and, you know, I want to leave them the country that I actually grew up in, because this is not a racist country. We have racism in this country, but there's racism on both sides. I know some of my family are the biggest racists that I know, and they're black. So, You know, so for
hey, we talked about black supremacy. You know, this is an equal opportunity show. You know, I had a Black Lives Matter guy call me a racist, and at the time we had Josie and Pianki, who's black, on the line, and Josie's Latina, and it's like, I was the only white guy on the show. It's like, where's the racism, pal? I mean, it was hysterical. Anyway, go ahead, but feel free to speak freely. You know, because we do.
Yeah. Well, if anybody know me, anybody follow my Twitter, anybody follow me on Facebook, that's why I'm suspended on Facebook again, is that I do talk freely and I don't really hold my tongue back. And, you know, you get the truth of me. I am what I am. Either you're going to love me or you're going to hate me, you know, but at least you're going to get all of me. And so, you know, this is the greatest country in the world. This is where I was born. This is where my family was born. This is where I raised my kids. And this is, you know, I've gone all over the world. I've been on every continent. I've been over, you know, in over 500 countries and cities all over this world. This is the best country in the world, no doubt. I believe Shelby did say that, or one of them said that. So she was definitely correct on that. This is by far the best country in the world. And this is the freest country and the last free country in the world. So if we lose this, no one has anywhere else to go, you know, and I know that's a cliche and, you know, a lot of people use that, but it is definitely the truth. And so, and, you know, I'm running to try to preserve that. I'm running to try to bring, you know, this country back to where it should be, you know, to where the, you know, to what the founding fathers instilled it to be: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness with no interference from government at all.
Yeah. I was watching your video last night. These are all good points. I was watching your video last night with Stu Peters, and you made an amazing claim that I want to kind of follow up on. You were talking about American lives sacrificed to the globalist and to the permanent war class, the military-industrial complex. And you mentioned that we knew about Pearl Harbor in advance. We knew about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. I mean, the destroyer, I think it was the Greer, was purposely put in harm's way to be attacked. And, you know, we can go back to, you know, remember the Maine, you know, in Havana Harbor with the Spanish-American War. But I want to start with Pearl Harbor in particular. Why do you think we knew about that? And how does that affect, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan? We'll sort of work our way up there, but That was a fascinating claim that you made. How do you know that? I'm curious, especially Pearl Harbor.
Well, if you study the story of Pearl Harbor and the story of World War II, you find that the Australians warned us. We had communications, and we picked up communications as well. And the Australians warned us that there was a large Japanese fleet heading towards the west coast of the United States. And we ignored that, and we totally ignored that. If we would have took them serious, and if we and I don't know if we didn't take them serious or if we just, you know, let it happen, because how do you get this close to the United States and not know about it? You know, we have the Navy, we have, so in my studies and in my research and in my readings, you know, I found that those communications were had, and we either ignored them or we let them go, or we just let it happen to get us into the war. Because you have to understand, it was at a time when we were also coming out of the Depression, if I'm not mistaken.
And, no, you're right.
We were trying to recover from depression, and the best way to recover from a depression is to really go to war and spend money and, you know, and start manufacturing things and getting people back to work, you know, at that time. You know, so that's why, you know, I put out that and they put up the accusation that those that Pearl Harbor, you know, basically was sacrificed. I mean, we had all those ships, you know, just sitting on the row, you know, and just let them get bombed, you know, so we have to manufacture new ships. We have to bring new ships. It's going to, you know, bring back the economy. It's going to, you know, I mean, so you have to look at all these different factors into what really goes on into war. And also we ended up, and people may or may not know that we funded both sides of the war with Germany as well. You know, we manufactured a lot of the tanks and a lot of the equipment that the Germans used that we were fighting against.
Was it Ford? So, Ford was making German tanks, I think, before the war?
Right, absolutely they were. You know, so, I mean, so war, and when you really go into it and you come forward and you you really look at the studies and you really listen to President Dwight Eisenhower warn us about the military-industrial complex, and then you just really look at it and sink into it, then you find that, yeah, it's actually pretty plausible and pretty feasible that this happens, and especially the way that the globalists now, you know, they want the new world order, you know, they want to control people, you know, they, you know, so when you study globalism and the globalists. And that was one thing, too, if you notice that President Trump was trying to get us off. He was trying to get the United States off of globalism to maintain our own, you know, whether you want to call it isolationism or, you know, or
I don't like that
you know,
term.
Whatever you want
it's
to
negative.
Call it.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
America
you know,
first
so,
is a better term.
Yeah, right,
I think.
Right. Totally America first. He was doing some things. Okay. He had got us out of the WHO, which he knew was a criminal organization, and everyone now sees what the WHO is doing. They're in bed with China. You know, a lot of these globalists are in bed with China. So you have to look at everything as a whole and to be able to understand it as a whole and see, you know, how these things work and intertwine together. So that's why I say, I mean, and if you're looking at moving up to Afghanistan, what idiot in their right mind would not take out American citizens first before we take out the military? We give up an air base, you know, we just let it go, you know, and all of these tanks, all these guns, all these missiles, and we just leave all this equipment there and just turn it over to the enemy, okay? And then we, you know, allow... You know, we pull out the military before we pull out the civilians, and then we close the military base, and then I mean, none of it made sense. You know, and then these people talk about what was President Trump's plan. Well, that was not President Trump's plan, because you can have a plan. It may have been President Trump's plan, but you can actually execute a plan wrong and have it all screwed up. So, but what Biden and the administration did, they tried to just get rid of everything Trump did, and he wanted to do it his way. But, you know, whoever's controlling him, they wanted to do it their way, because President Trump's plan was to get out all the civilians first, get out all of the equipment, and then bring the military out. Yeah, no one wants perpetual war. I don't want perpetual war. You know, but fine is that you know, with all of this loss of life, you know, Pearl Harbor, you have 9/11, you have Vietnam, you have all of this, right? Now we have Americans that are stranded and that was left there, even though, you know, they tried to spin it and they started to spin their cover their ass, you know, lie as to how they said, well, the people that want to leave, the Americans that want to leave, we're going to rescue. Well,
you
I
want to leave,
all
right?
The Americans
want
to leave Afghanistan. Yeah. So, you see, they knew that they were leaving people there. They knew they weren't going to get them all out. So now, you know, the lie is going to be, well, those people didn't want to leave because we got out every American that wanted to leave. No, you didn't. You left stranded Americans there. You know, I feel for the Afghanis, and I feel for our allies and the people that helped us, right? But I'm an America first. Every American should have been on those planes first. We pulled out only 5% of Americans. If you look at the total, it's over 100,000 people. And most of my Afghanis that we pulled out of Afghanistan, only 5% of those were Americans. And we know for a fact that there were thousands of Americans that were over in Afghanistan working, you know. And so now, you know, people are going to see this death. You know, we had the death of our 13 service members. People are upset and angry. People want to go in there and get Americans. And the best way to get back into war is to get Americans fired up, because Americans are killed, Americans are sacrificed, because we love each other. We love our country, and we love our American citizens, and we don't want any harm to come to any American citizen on foreign soil. So, you know, in that aspect, you have to sacrifice them to get Americans' stomach ready and to get Americans fired up to buy back into war, and that's what's going to happen in Afghanistan if you pay attention here soon.
Yeah, no, this is why I thought your revelation was brilliant, and I want to sort of trace this through. And 9/11 we can talk about at some point. I don't want to do it today, but the idea that building, you know, the airplanes crash into the top of a building and it is destroyed from the bottom, you know, is just illogical on its face. And we'll talk about that sometime in a bit. But Afghanistan, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Yeah, follow the science on that one. Follow the science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will. We've only got 27 minutes left.
Right.
I have a bunch of other issues. Josie, go ahead. Yeah, real quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to say my husband's retired 26-year military Air Force H-60 helicopters. And my husband says that we were well-trained, he was saying last night, that when we leave, we destroy all our weapons, anything left behind. This is well-organized. In my personal opinion, and my husband, Obama is the one behind organizing it all with Ilham and the Muslim Brotherhood. This is well-organized. To leave Americans behind.
That's the point I wanted to get to.
This is all on agenda.
Yeah, if it was done purposely, let's look at it in terms of it being done purposely, you know, what is the objective? I also believe, as Josie does, that Obama's running the Biden, you know, insurrection, as I call it, that they're helping the Taliban by giving them our weapons. They're bringing Afghanis so we have more Sharia Muslims in this country. This is all by design. And like you're saying, to get us back into war. So kind of, you know, feel free to explore those things, sir.
Yeah, I believe it was definitely by design as well.
Okay.
You know, because you have to look at it. You know, the people in Biden's cabinet, they aren't stupid. People calling them stupid, they are not stupid, and they are not ignorant. And, you know, these were the same people that were in the Obama cabinet as well. You know, so these people are very intelligent people. So you just have to come to the conclusion is, okay, so if they're not stupid, it has to be by design, and it has to be by design. That's the only logical conclusion that a sensible, critical thinking person can actually make. And yes, we never leave equipment behind. I mean, we left, you know, $83 billion of equipment to the, you know, Taliban or whoever is going to be using it against us when we go back in there. But yeah, we destroyed. I mean, even, you know, when they say we killed Osama bin Laden in that, you know, 860 crash, we blew it up so no one could get it. If we didn't have, you know, the means to get all of our equipment out, which we did because we had the C5s, we have everything, before we left Bagram, we could have flown all of that equipment out very, very easily, you know, on our planes, but yet we left it there. And if we were going to leave it there, then you might as well just drop a tactical nuke on it and blow it all up, but you don't leave it to the enemy, you know.
Interesting.
You know,
yeah.
So,
well, why
so,
was it there in the first
aspect,
place?
It was by design.
We had 2,500 troops there. Why did we have $83 billion? I mean, $83 billion is like 10% of the entire defense budget, about $800-some-odd billion. Why did we have that much stuff there for 2,500 troops?
Well, it was troop stationed close by, too. I believe that because Bagram was basically a big staging area just in case we had to go back in, just in case we had to have a quick response. So that's what Bagram was. Bagram was a secure air base. I've flown into Bagram a couple of times before I retired. But Bagram was a very secure air base. It wasn't downtown, you know, on Taliban land, you know, like Hamid Karzai is. You know, it was a secure perimeter. You know, it was very secure base because it was out, you know, away from pretty much everything. So it was a secure base. So that was an outlying post, and that was a, you know, staging and a quick response area. So I can understand why a lot of the equipment was still there just in case, but I don't understand why it was left.
Yeah, I think it was there. It was built up as a gift, or it was there to justify the next war because we have to go in and spend more money to buy more stuff so we can fight our own equipment. Gene, do you have a question? And then Josie, do you have a question? And then I have another, of course, many big ones here.
Oh, no, I don't have any questions.
All right, Josie?
No, I'm good. I want to hear
him. Okay, sir, when should the United States go to war? I mean, let's get a general policy here. If you're in Congress, what are your criteria? When do we go to war?
Well, and personally, I think we should go to war when we have a threat upon the United States shores. Go further out. And we do have those. You know, we have, you know, international waters that anybody can travel through. But once you travel into, you know, our area of operation here inside the United States, you know, or if there's any, you know, and I believe, you know, we do have our allies, you know, that we protect still and that we work with. You know, and I understand that may be, you know, part of war when you have treaties to protect each other. You know, but unless there's a actual, you know, deemed threat upon the United States, then, you know, I don't think we should go to war, you know, for any reason other than that, to be honest. Because I
understand. Would you require a congressional declaration of war? Would you bring that back?
Oh, yeah, well, that's the way. Oh, that's the way it's laid out in the Constitution. The President of the United States should not.
It's not done that way.
Should not, you know, have, you know, carte blanche just to, you know, go to war. The Congress, you know, the Constitution of the United States gives Congress the power to declare war, and that's it. And that's the only way it should be.
Yeah. I want to switch to another thing you mentioned earlier, talking about racism. It seems to me that the Democrat Party has always been the party of slavery, the KKK, segregation, you know, up through Obama, who was the resegregation president. And it's official government policy, you know, especially in the Department of Education for things like critical race theory. What can you do, you know, in Congress to, you know, get us away from that? Because this is not, you know, a racist country, as you said. I mean, are there racists in this country? Sure. Yeah. But the point is, to make it official government policy to segregate everybody, you know, based on race, it seems one of the most destructive policies that was ever created. And we need to reverse this and get out of this whole race business.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, the first thing I would do is definitely I'm going to sponsor a bill to abolish the Department of Education. I think the Department of Education is a waste of money, and the federal government should not be involved in education of states. They should be a state level, you know, institution only. So the states write their laws for their education system. And with that said, then the people can be able to control it even more, because there's no federal money coming into the states. There's no federal money coming into the coffers of these teachers unions or anything of that nature, because it's state run. So when something is state run the way it's supposed to be, and not at a federal level, then the people control that better, and you know, down at the localities and you know, and at the state level. So I would definitely abolish the Department of Education and remove education back down to the state levels. And I think, you know, if that's done and people aren't getting federal dollars and federal mandated curriculum and things like that, I think the people can control that better.
Yeah. What if you got rid of all public education? What if we were an entirely privately educated nation where people could get vouchers for full school choice? So their taxes went to vouchers where they could pick homeschool if they wanted to create a homeschool, if they wanted to go to various private schools, if they wanted to have a mix of everything from ballet lessons to archery to, you know, academic classes to Shakespeare, and they sort of modulated their kids' education. Do we need the government involved in education at all?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, our tax dollars are spent on free public school education, because that's in the Constitution. Now, with that said, I believe that money should follow the child. If a parent wants it, and I do definitely believe in 100 choice and with vouchers if necessary, and those vouchers would come in the form of the taxes that the people are paying to these public schools. If you don't want your child to go to a public school because that public school is failing, or you want them to go to ballet school, you want them to go to an art school or something, you know, that they, you know, would thrive better in a different curriculum or a different setting, then that money should definitely follow the child, and you should be able to have a voucher for that and use that in any form of education that you want your child to be in.
Yeah. Did you say education was in the Constitution?
I mean, well, I believe it's Title 10 or Title 9 that guarantees a free and public school education, but that comes, you know, at the expense of being federally mandated as well. So, you know, and you know, if a person, you know, because education should be free, first of all, you know, and if we have public schools that are being funded by state governments or by, you know, any government, then a child should be able to go to school free, but that curriculum should be also set by, and I would say a board, a board of parents, a board of educators, you know, a board of legislators, to make sure that all of this curriculum is fit for children and not something that's fit for adults, you know, like this sexism, all this crap that they bring into the education system now. But if we're paying for it, then yeah, I believe that, you know, and it is written in that children are entitled to a free and public school education. So,
yeah, see, I would change that.
I got a quick question.
Yeah, Jesse, go ahead. Yeah, that's interesting.
I got a quick
Jesse?
Question.
No, feel free.
In the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, our governor, he said it's optional if you want to get the vaccine and no more masks. Now, our public schools here are demanding all the children and teachers to get vaccinated, and they want all the kids to wear a mask. What can I do? Who do I get a hold of? I mean, because, you know, Ron DeSantis' office, they never answer. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unfortunately, that's relegated down to the local level, even, you know, and in the state level, you know, and me personally, if I don't believe that it should be mandated, because mandates are not laws, first of all. Mandates are suggestions. Mandates is someone's tyranny that, you know, that where they think that they're king and they can just tell free people what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe there should be any mandates. Now, if there should be, you know, a choice, because we are free people, we should have the choice. So if you want the choice to get vaccinated, then get vaccinated. That's what you want to do. If you want the choice of your child to wear a mask to school and your child wants to do that, then do that. But if you don't, there's no way in being free mm-hmm. will people and having our inalienable rights from God that anybody should be mandated to have to wear a mask or get a vaccine to attend school, especially a public school that's free and public. And that's where it goes back to the free and public school education. So
do you think they're breaking our laws?
I absolutely do believe that they are breaking our laws, and I absolutely believe that anyone that mandates that, any business, any governor, any school board, they all should be liable for any damages to these kids, and also believe that they, you know, should be held accountable and that they are liable and should be sued as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, just to follow up. No, this is a great question, Jesse. Just to follow up on this, you know, the Biden insurrection is telling states they're going to cut funding, and they're going to tell, you know, and they're giving extra money to school districts when DeSantis wants to cut money to them. What's going on at the federal level? You've got an imposter in the White House who's imposing, you know, his will that you should be vaccinated, you should do this. You know, the unvaccinated are a plague on society, you know, whatever he's saying. But the point is, you know, in Congress, there are a lot of things you can do, and a lot of this comes from the CDC. Because the CDC, as you said, they're issuing, you know, regulations which people are taking as mandates, but they're not. They're suggestions. The CDC has no power, no regulatory authority to do any of this stuff, yet people are taking it. So what would you do with the CDC?
Well, I would admonish the CDC, because the CDC does not make laws. No one in the CDC is an elected official. Only elected officials can make laws. Only legislatures can make laws. So for any mandate, and that's where it goes back to. People need to understand law. People need to understand, you know, terminology and, you know, what's coming out. A mandate is just a suggestion. A mandate is not law. And the CDC, you know, in defense of the CDC,
it's not even a mandate.
They have actually, they have actually said this is just a mandate, in which it is, or this is just a suggestion, and they say it in their literature. And if you look at words like shall and must, the words must and shall are very, very critical in law. If something does not say must or shall, then it is only an opinion and only a suggestion. And if you notice, if you look at any of the literature that the CDC has released, they say it's a suggestion or should, you know, they use the words should, you know, and we recommend, you know, that you wear a mask, or they should wear a mask. It doesn't say that you must wear a mask. They don't say that you, you know, have to, or that you shall wear a mask, because they know law, and they understand that those words are very, very critical to law. So, and if you look at, let's say here in the state of Virginia, right? If you look at any of Ralph Northam's, Blackface Northam's mandate, quote unquote, right?
Oh, yeah.
His mandate, if you read them, you will see those key words in there. Should, recommend, we're going to follow the CDC recommendation. Absolutely, because they're only recommendations, which means they are not laws, which means people really don't have to follow them. And then he also protects himself by giving a list of exemptions. And he lists every exemption in there that could conclude that you really don't have to do any of this, because somebody falls under each one of those exemptions. But what he does, he put his black shirt, his brown shirts, and his, you know, the Department of Health, you know, Nazi fascist policemen out there to try to police this. And they actually know they don't even have the law on their side to police this. They didn't have the law to shut down businesses, you know, for this, because you can't shut down a business on a recommendation or a suggestion, because that's all of this is. See, but people don't understand linguistic programming. A lot of this is linguistic programming, where you hear a word and you're like, oh, that's law, that's mandatory, when it's really not, because people don't really understand the English language, and they don't understand what these words mean in law perspective to them. None of this, I've never worn a mask, I'm never going to get a shot, because it's all relative, because it's all recommended and it's all suggestion. None of it is law.
So where was the GOP during all this time? Where were the objections? Where were the where was the national press conferences daily saying that you don't have to listen to this? This is a bunch of nonsense. You know, Republicans at every level, from Congress, from the governors, there could have been such a massive counter media effort to counter the lies that were coming out from the CDC, the lies that came out of the FDA, the lies that governors have the power to lock down their states, which they don't. You know, the Constitution doesn't have an on and off switch. I'm surprised Bianchi hasn't called it actually. That was his line. He said, you can't do this. None of this stuff was legal. And yet, where was the opposing media? Where was the opposing party? And I've started calling the GOP the gelding old party. Okay, they're a bunch of geldings. You know, they don't do anything. They're like, you know, horses drawing carts. They're passive as opposed to stallions that, you know, range free and yell and scream and do stuff. What happened to the party and why weren't they more active? And then we'll get into the election audits too. But what's happening to the GOP? What can you do with them?
Well, I think the we have to rebuild the GOP. Unfortunately, a lot of the GOP are rhinos. We have rhinos that, you know, capitulate, and, you know, that's also part of this plan. They're getting paid, you know, by these same companies, you know, that's pushing the vaccines, you know. And you know, as far as the media, the opposing media are the ones that were silenced, are the ones that were taken off Twitter, taken off Facebook, and can't, you know, really get out there. OAN was actually a good one. OAN has always been against it. They've always been against these illegal mandates, but everybody don't have OAN. You have to, you know, either have cable to get OAN, you know, in these alternative news sites and these news outlets, like, you know, where Newsweek was good, Newsmax was okay, but OAN has been front and center. That all of this has been that these mandates have not been law, but like I say, a lot of people don't get those. A lot of people get the control, Fox News, and yes, Fox News is controlled, just like CNN, just like the rest of them. They're owned by the same people, so you're only going to get half-truths, you know, on Fox News, where they're not a reliable source anymore, you know, at all either. You know, but there were some GOP members that was coming out, like Rand Paul is now coming out against the vaccines, that people say they shouldn't get the vaccine. So a lot of some of them are now trying to come out, you know, but a lot of them were scared, and a lot of the GOP politicians are just worried about getting reelected.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad you came on the show, and you're welcome anytime. You don't even have to get an invitation. If it's something we're talking about you're interested in, you know, please feel free to call. And I want to get you on many times before the election so we can explore these issues, because we at least have the time to do that here. Speaking of things that people don't have to follow, the Supreme Court, I guess the most recent and a series of horrible decisions coming out of there, and they're actually opinions, Roe v. Wade. You know, people follow Roe v. Wade, but the Supreme Court has no ability to make policy. Therefore, Roe v. Wade actually is moot. You know, the fact that the Supreme Court said that there's gay marriage, they don't have the power to create that. That's moot. You know, all the other things that a lot of the other things they've done creating so-called rights, they don't have the power to do any of that. Congress could easily say, look, you can't do this stuff. Plyler v. Doe, the case that we're working on here when we're trying to create an illegal alien free zone in Santa Rosa County, is a case that says that we have to educate illegal alien children in our schools, and we have to pay for it. Why are we funding a criminal enterprise? Why are we giving foreign aid within our country to people that have no right to be here? So the Supreme Court is a huge issue, and Congress, you know, is supreme over the Supreme Court. Supreme Court issues opinions. They don't make law. They don't make regulation. You know, have you thought about things that you can do with them to put them back in their box of Article 3, you know, basically handling cases instead of making up stuff?
And, you know, And you know, that's one of the things of having the, you know, separation of government, you know, they are just supposed to interpret, you know, and you know, like you say, they're not supposed to legislate and make laws from the bench. That's not what the Supreme Court is for, you know. So reining them back in, you know, I definitely would be, you know, on board with, you know, legislation for that. But you really can't legislate another branch. You know, government, they are just...
No, but you can overturn their decisions.
I honestly don't believe Congress has the power to overturn a Supreme Court decision, because we are separated, and, you know, that's why it's separated. And the Supreme Court is supposed to follow the Constitution now of the United States, you know.
Okay.
And, I mean, get into the weeds of, you know, and I don't think the Supreme Court should, and, you know, these courts should have the right to sue the President of the United States, because we have separation of government between the Congress, the President of the United States, and the Supreme Court, and that's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be a check and balance system. But it's only a check and balance system when you have honest people within the system, when you have integrity within the system. And that's the problem. We don't have integrity within the system any longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but I'm really curious to explore this a bit, because I think this is one of those assumptions and myths. And we talk a lot about this on the show, and I'm way out there when it comes to the Supreme Court, because I want to put them back in a box and give them just very minimal authority. But what is the check and balance on the Supreme Court, if not Congress and the president? The branches are checks on each other. But it seems like if you can't challenge a Supreme Court decision, then there is no check and balance on the Supreme Court. That's my question.
Well, you should be as part of the Constitution, okay. You should be able to check that over time. I've never known any part of Congress or president to ever overturn a Supreme Court decision. You know, because basically the Supreme Court is supposed to be the fair law of the land, and they're supposed to adjudicate according to the Constitution. Do they do that? No, we don't now, because they're outside of their own box. So, yeah, I mean, do we have to rein them in? We have to rein them in at, you know, somehow, you know, as far as that goes. I don't know, you know, I don't know how we would do that except confines of the Constitution and putting in justices. Again, that, you know, I'll put like this. I would like to get rid of the lifetime appointment, probably. That may
well,
help.
Well, there is no lifetime appointment. The Constitution says good behavior. You can do that. Congress can do that anytime they want. They can recall any justice of the Supreme Court for bad behavior.
Right. Yeah. Right. But bad behavior, and then you have to get, okay, so what is bad behavior? You know what I mean? Is it something?
Roe v. Wade.
Is it something
gay marriage?
You know, just because of
making
writing,
laws.
I mean,
you know,
writing opinions. You know, things like that. So yeah. I mean, I'm on board with you. I agree with you 100%. Now, as far as the procedures, you know, of exactly of what Congress can do to overturn anything. I mean, of course, we can always write, you know, new amendments to the Constitution. That's the way, you know, the Congress normally will handle things like that. And that's why we have all these amendments, right? So I think there may be new amendments that may have to be added to the Constitution in order to rein in the Supreme Court on a lot of their cases that they may have made. So that may be one way to do it.
Okay. Yeah, here's the thing, too. You don't have to have, you know, answers to every question I ask, because a lot of times we ask questions that can't be answered until we've studied them, we've thought about them, we've debated them.
Right.
Supreme Court is a regular topic on this show. And so I would love to work with you on that, because, you know, I have some fairly strong views, and I think that that is definitely something that people are really concerned about. I want to go to Gene and Josie again, because I have one more question on election audits. We'll get to that in just a bit. Gene, do you have another question for Jerome Bell?
No, I don't, but I just want to say thank you, because here where I'm at, it being mandated that people in healthcare get the coronavirus vaccine or you're out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to look farther into where it's going to say with nursing homes federally that if you're not mandated, they're going to cut off funding. But what you said, it just makes me more motivated to speak up in behalf of, no, that should not be legal, because who is making that as the authority last sentence? And it needs to be challenged. So just thank you for all your information.
See, I would abolish the CDC. The only legitimate power they have is to stop people at the border who have a communicable disease from coming into the country, and Homeland Security could take care of that. We could abolish the CDC, take away their one power, and I think we'd save a whole lot of grief. Josie? Do you have another question? We've got about 3 minutes left. Oh, go ahead, Jerome. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hold on, Jerome. Let's get Jerome.
I've actually said that before, that we should definitely abolish the CDC, because they've outused their outlived their usefulness, and now it's just used, you know, as you know, by the government as another arm, a strong arm tactic organization.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of organizations I would abolish within the federal government in these places that seem to be federal government establishments, but they're not, like the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and things like that. I would abolish a bunch of that.
Okay, all right. We can talk about those. Let me get to Josie's question first, then I want to ask you about the FBI and the audits.
I don't have a question, Josie. But I just want to thank you so much for running, and thank you for your service. And we need good leaders in Washington, D.C., and it is time to clear the swamp that we have. It is horrible, and this is not America, what we have right now. And thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate you.
It's great to have you on. Even like I say, even if I disagree with certain things, you know, don't take that as a lack of support. I want to help, and I want to sharpen the arguments, and I want to see what I can do well, of course, you know, some citizen legislation I want to talk about too. This is my 90-second warning. So what do you think of the idea? I don't know if you had a chance to check out some of our bills, like vaccine product liability, like you know, the Section 230 amendments that we have written, things like not having income tax withheld during the time you're earning your standard deduction, you know, things in our now 23 bills, you know, to rock the nation. Have you had a chance to look at any of those? And what do you think of the idea of citizen legislation, of us writing the bills that we consent to be governed by and then giving them directly to Congress instead of special interests always doing it? What do you think?
Okay, well, I have not had a chance to read your bills.
Okay.
But just listening at a couple of things that you said, I would be interested in definitely reading those and researching those. And, you know, okay. and I don't want everyone to agree with me, you know, and I don't agree with everyone else, you know. So if we have a disagreement or we don't agree with anything, that's fine because that's how we learn. You know, I'm willing to actually, you know, listen and sit down. And I may learn something, you know, as far as, you know, something that I may not know. I mean, so I'm not a know-it-all or anything like that. But, yeah, as citizen legislation, you know, that would actually be a great thing because I think, you know, a lot of these localities and a lot of the states, they need citizen input, you know, because, you know, the fact of the matter is we legislate for why would we not want the citizens' input as to how they want to be governed. You know, I think that would be definitely a smart thing because here's the thing. If you read Frederick Bastiat at all, you read his essay called The Law. The law was created to protect individuals' life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are supposed to legislate, and meaning we, every legislator and congressman and senator, you know, in the federal and state governments, we are supposed to legislate by that one premise. If we pass a law or we are attempting to vote on a law that takes away a person's life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness, then that law is unjust and it should never be passed. Anyway, the law or the law enforcement was created to protect individuals' rights to that. And if those law enforcement people don't enforce that, then they are unjust and they should not be in law enforcement, you know, so there's a real fine line.
I have to hold you up. We're actually out of time. We've been out of time for about a minute, but I really wanted to hear this answer because, you know, you've made my day. So let me just conclude. First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to definitely have to have you back, but just give your information, contact information, websites, emails, anything like that. And then we're going to have to shut down for today, sir.
Okay,
how do people get in touch?
I appreciate you having me. Definitely. We'll definitely be back on the show so we can finish. You know, we have a lot to discuss. But but my website is JeromeBellForCongress.com, and you spell that JaromeBellFor Congress.com, and that's where you can volunteer to help my campaign. You can donate if you can't volunteer or if you don't have the time. But, you know, donations, I greatly appreciate it because everyone knows it's expensive to run a race, especially when you're running against establishment Republicans and Democrats like I am. You can follow me on Twitter until they suspend me again, at Jerome Bell, VA. I'm usually on Facebook, but I'm suspended right now again for another 30 days because they can't take the truth. I'm also on Gab at Jerome Bell, VA. I'm on Getter, Jerome Bell, VA. I'm on IG, Jerome Bell for Congress, I believe that is. I have so many, you know, I lose track. But that's how you can get in touch with me. And my email is JeromeBellForCongress.com. And again, you spell my name, JaromeE. So you can also reach us there.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Pleasure to have you on, but we really have to go. Greg Penglis for blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock Central Time.